Thank you, Kathy. Let us stand before our Creator in praise and adoration. Let us offer our Lord our joy and thanksgiving. Let us worship our God, saying, O God, we remember with wonder and joy that your Spirit is reaching everywhere, rejoicing in the liveliness of all living things, touching what is wounded or ill with healing power, gathering in the lonely, the lost, the least, soothing ancient animosities, creating and recreating a vision of hope. Come now, Holy Spirit, let us worship, rejoice in you and lift our hearts and bind us in one family of loving grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to hymn number 142, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Please remain standing as you are able. God declares, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Confident in our deliverance, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Holy God, we confess we have not been obedient to your will for us. We have sought justice for ourselves, but neglected justice for others. We have insisted on our rights, but have not lived rightly in our relationships. We have sought mercy for our sins, but have not offered mercy to those who have sinned against us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, free us from the prison of our disobedience. Help us to love you as you have loved us, that our lives may testify to your abounding grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, the gift and calling of God are irrevocable. Receive God's gift of forgiveness and share it with others. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, our Creator loves us, and through Christ's life, death and resurrection has offered us the peace that passes all understanding. Therefore, I say, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with everyone you meet, beginning with those around you now. Let us pray. Dear God, we work hard to keep our outward appearance attractive, but what is in our hearts is even more important. The way we are deep down, where others can't see, matters to God. Open our eyes and ears, Lord, that we may hear and understand the messages we are about to be told. If you want to follow along, the gospel lesson is Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20. It's on page 17 in your New Testament. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with the unwashed hands does not defile them."
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Kathy. We're going to pick up where Bev left off. You can continue in your pew Bibles wherever you stopped, but I am going to be reading from the Common English Bible today, okay? Listen now for God's word to God's people. From there, God went to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from those territories came out and shouted, "Show me mercy, son of David. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." But he didn't respond to her at all. His disciples came and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps shouting out after us." And Jesus replied, "I've been sent only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she knelt before him and said, "Kyrie eleison, Lord, help me." And he replied, "It is not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table." Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. It will be just as you wish." And immediately her daughter was healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, growing up, and then later in life, my parents brought miniature schnauzers into our family circle. Cute dogs. Fritz and Jake were actually wonderful dogs to live with. Both minded their manners and walked well on their leashes. Well, Jake kind of sometimes pulled Mom around the block. Oops. But neither barked too much. And when it came to playing tug or fetch, both were true terriers. They didn't give up once they got hold of the object of their intent. Their breed had been shaped to chase vermin down and hold on to them until they were rendered harmless. To never give up on their prey is a hallmark trait of these four-pawed friends. And I suppose I'm thinking about our dogs because this Canaanite woman just reminded me of a miniature schnauzer. From the minute he first ignored her, she wasn't about to let Jesus go. She dug in and held on. That she reminded Jesus of dogs eating the crumbs off their master's table is likewise interesting. You know, there aren't many dogs in the Middle East. Cats hang out on every windowsill and corner, but dogs are few and far between. That's mostly because, to this day, dogs are reviled. They were dirty, pesky scavengers that were rarely wanted around. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go back to today's reading. Let's see. Jesus has recently fed the 5,000. And that was probably up on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee, okay? Above that bulge of water. I guess it goes that way for you guys. That bulge of water over there on the west side. Then he traveled across the water to heal people on the sea's southwestern shore. So now, at the beginning of chapter 15, Jesus has answered some questions from a group of Pharisees. But he's now decided to open it to all who are in the vicinity. You see, the Pharisees had asked him why his disciples do not ritually purify their hands by washing them before they eat. Oh, those purity laws. Jesus begins calling the Pharisees hypocrites. He even quotes Isaiah on the subject. He said, "This people honors me," that would be God, "with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are human rules." That was from Isaiah. And now, as we heard in Bev's reading, we hear Jesus actually put the Pharisees in their places. He does it very politely, but he definitely lets them know what he thinks of their man-made laws. Yes, Peter was correct. The Pharisees would be offended by their teacher's words. It was their job to make sure the tribe's laws were kept. It is important to follow the law. I admit that. I uphold that. John Calvin, our founder, himself a lawyer, said that the law can protect the community from unjust people, and it can guide faithful people towards living into God's will for life. But Calvin also said, believers are to rise above human-made laws by practicing godliness. For him, God's law is just, it's righteous, it's holy and perfect. Even back in Matthew 5, Jesus had taught those who were listening that fulfilling the law is living by the lessons of what we now call the Beatitudes. It seems these Pharisees were much more intent on rules that focus on details that don't always help the community become more godly. Sometimes those rules were devised to make the priests and Pharisees more powerful and wealthy. For Jesus to call this group out for being worried about washing hands before mealtime would absolutely get him into trouble. And what does he say about this law? He said, "Everything that goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewers." It's certainly a good idea to wash your hands before eating. If we learned anything from COVID, it was that people need to remove germs from our hands and not swallow them with our meals, right? I still get queasy every time I can't wash up after filling the gas tank. Washing up does honor the health and the body that God gave us. But does it really help us live into the life that God intends for us? Jesus isn't saying to buck every law on the books. He's reminding his followers to consider how a given law helps people become godlier. Does it increase our faith? Does it help us bring hope to those who are hopeless? Does it feed those who are hungry? Does it enable us to offer mercy to those who have wronged us? Does it help us build peace between warring parties? What really counts for Jesus are issues of real consequence. As he says, what goes out from the mouth comes from the heart. If our words or actions aren't filled with his lessons of faith, we ought to reconsider them before acting. They could well be what contaminates a person in God's sight. So the Pharisees were offended? Well, for Jesus, that meant it was time to dust off his sandals and move on. But to Tyre and Sidon? Those cities are located far to the north along the Mediterranean coast in Phoenicia. Jesus was born to Hebrew parents. He believed his call was to shepherd the lost tribes of Judah. And there were very few Israelites in far-off Tyre and Sidon. But it seems the people there had also heard of Jesus' healing powers, for his welcoming party was a woman whose daughter was very ill. She'd been struck by demons. Sadly, her welcome is not so much an act of hospitality, but a plea for mercy. How she knew where to find him along his travels is anybody's guess, but here she is. And she was as intent on having her wish granted as terriers are in catching whatever it is they seek. Engaging from the way the ancient Greek text phrases her pleas for help, we can tell she's being persistent, even though Jesus ignores her at first. It's interesting. She's a member of a tribe that has been much hated by the Jews for hundreds of years, the Canaanites. Plus, she's a female. Jewish men aren't supposed to speak to women from outside their families, let alone a Canaanite. Both groups are considered to be unclean, ritualistically impure. Their conditions were no better than those Jews who didn't wash their hands before eating. So this woman's got two strikes against her. But still she persists. Kyrie eleison. Lord, help me. She cries it over and over again. And the disciples, well, they're not at all happy about the scene that she's causing. They recognize her impurity and shout at her and at Jesus, get rid of her. Strike three. You'd think the male leader of such a group would have the outsider, this woman, dragged away, right? After all, she was contaminating them and slowing their progress. But that's where the story turns. Jesus remembers the call God has placed on his life, and he said, I've been sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But she repeats her cry, Lord, help me. Kyrie eleison. And he says, it's not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. You see what I mean about dogs being disliked as pesky scavengers? And now Jesus seems to be comparing the woman as well as her tribe to dogs. Now that's low. That's especially low for someone who's supposed to be living a godly life, who is to offer hope to the hopeless, and yes, show mercy. This exchange is very troubling. Oh yeah, Jesus is fully human, even while being fully God. I have to wonder if this story isn't here to show readers that Jesus could and did learn on the job. There are other examples of God learning, like from Jonah and others in the Old Testament. No matter his statement, this woman is undeterred. She again names him Lord. She's claiming him. And she persists in pleading for her daughter. She says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table. Master, she is claiming that he is the master, the Lord. And that's when he recognizes her as someone who truly, deeply believes that he is able to heal her daughter. Her faith is great. And the words she speaks mark her as one who's living into God's law of life. She believes that Jesus is the Lord of life. Trusting God, she humbly seeks mercy, and not just for herself. No, no, no. she seeks mercy for another. Her heart is pure. And what's coming out of her mouth is truly coming from her heart. In making purity laws about what people could eat or how they washed their hands, the Pharisees often focused on rules that didn't do much to help the community become more godly, more faithful. And yes, I do know that there were good reasons to not eat shellfish or pork back in those days. The point is, God's law, not the Pharisees, was given so people would have guidelines to remind them of their spiritual frailty, as well as leading them to living in God's rule for life until Christ came. But here in Matthew chapter 15, we are reminded that Christ has come and that we can live within the promise God has made to all who live in faithfulness to him. As Paul states in chapter 3 of Galatians, you are all God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if you belong to Christ, then indeed you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Unlike the Pharisees, Calvin would argue that we aren't bound to law on matters indifferent, as he called it. We would say things like hand washing, but only on significant matters. And Jesus himself sets out what is significant. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And we are to love others as we love ourselves. That is God's greatest law. This woman certainly loved her Lord with every part of her being. And she loved her daughter as she loved herself. Kyrie eleison, Lord. Have mercy on us all. Have mercy on us all, so that we too might do likewise for those around us. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we affirm our faith. We are reading the Nicene Creed, the ecumenical one, on the pew card together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please turn to hymn number 298, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy.
Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. As I say the words Kyrie eleison throughout this prayer, I invite you to respond by saying in English, Lord have mercy. Shall we gather our hearts together in prayer? Gracious Spirit, giver of life, on this glorious August day, we, your people, praise you and bless you. For your gifts, we are glad and sing for joy. The earth is yielding its increase, and you, our God, have blessed us with families and friends who share with us the joy of life in you. We thank you for the simple things of life. Fresh corn and beans from farm gardens, the laughter of children at swimming pools and at fairs, iced tea on neighbors' porches, richly covered sunsets and the deep blues of nearby lakes and streams. Oh Lord, thank you for these gifts. Bless too those who look forward to the coming school year, as well as those who approach the classroom nervously. Open the hearts of teachers to see their students as your children, each one, no matter how troubled or gifted they may be. And open the students to new ideas and lessons that will help them become all you have created them to be. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Yet violence, pain, and anxiety run rampant through society. We are concerned about the turmoil in the streets of Ecuador as the people face an election. And we wonder if this hurricane will ravage the Baja Peninsula or even Los Angeles. And we are saddened by the wildfires that are now forcing the residents of the Canary Islands and Yellowknife to flee from their homes. We still wonder if families will ever know the truth about loved ones who are still missing after the Maui and Hawaii firestorms. We can do so little to help the people affected by these things, so we ask you to provide for their needs and to give them hope in the face of such danger. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy.
We lift up to you our prayers on behalf of those most affected by these events. Place your calming hand on the shoulders of those who work under stress caused by so much dangerous and unpredictable weather. Strengthen the fortitude and inner balance of those who seek to protect residents from flames and heat, as well as those who work faithfully to heal those who are burned or suffer from heat exhaustion or smoke inhalation. Shower them all with courage so they might continue daily life with less fear and more hope. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. O Lord, turn people from violence. Calm the storms of life. Judge us with equity. Guide national leaders to live in peace upon your earth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And Lord, allow your body, your church, to reach out to people facing disaster in meaningful ways that can draw them towards your light. Help us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house those left homeless by these tragedies and by the tragedy of poverty. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. O God, our God, with life you have blessed us greatly. Mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers, make your face to shine upon us, O God, and may all your children praise you. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Without you, life would not exist, and we would not have known your love as expressed in the presence of your Son, Jesus, who came to earth to teach us how to live into your law, how to live godly lives, and how to pray together, saying these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Please stand and join me in singing our last hymn, which is the insert that you received when you came in. And as usual, after the service, if you would make a stack of them on the table, I would really appreciate that. And also, our benediction response is going to be the one that I have been singing for a couple of weeks. It's number 537, Shalom Chavarim. I invite you to sing that with me. I'll sing the first one in Hebrew, and you are more than welcome to sing that with me if you are willing. But we will definitely sing the English version all together.
Standing on the rocks of the Father, standing.
Jesus wasn't about insignificant things. He was about the most important things of life, how we care for one another, how we worship God with our full minds, hearts, and souls. He wants us to live as he did, to live into God's great law. He wants us to go out into the world and show that love for God to all we meet. And we do mean all, even Canaanite women. So go. Go and do as Jesus would have you do. Pray. Give hope to the hopeless. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Show ways of peace to those who are warring. Go. But go knowing that you do not go it alone. You go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord who gave us mercy, and the community that is the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen and amen. Shalom.